Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Welcome, everybody, to Design Oracles.
Hello. Welcome, Diane and Amity.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Today, we have another interview with someone I've known for many years, Katie Edwards-Clark from Lights Fantastic here in Austin. Katie, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Can you tell us, Katie, a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the field, et cetera?
So I've been with Lights Fantastic since 2012, coming just over 10 years. It's crazy. I joined Lights Fantastic right out of design school. I went to Texas State, have a bachelor's with an interior design. So I worked with a couple of designers out of college as an intern, and then my first big girl job was with Lights Fantastic, and it's been great. I've learned a ton about lighting. It's really exciting to me. I get to collaborate with some of the best architects and designers and builders and developers in Austin, which I think Austin has some of the best to collaborate with. So it's been a really great time. I feel like Lights Fantastic is on the forefront of lighting, of the lighting industry. Not only are we one of the beautiful showrooms in the country, we also have a manufacturing side. So we really know the ins and outs of lighting and have all the best references around.
So I agree.
It's been fun.
Yeah, I agree. I met you not probably right around the time you started there at Lights Fantastic, and have been working with you ever since. And it's true, your showroom is just gorgeous. We don't come in as often as we used to, because luckily we have you to send us images and things like that.
It is a great showroom, though, especially if people just want to kind of get an idea of lighting and what they might like, and not like just by looking at it. You know, you just such a great variety too.
And I think one important thing that relates to what we're talking about in this season of our podcast is the materiality of what goes into making up our homes. And one of the things that we do use the showroom for, and you force to for clients to go in and take a look at, maybe you'll have a light fixture from a company that is the same manufacturer that makes the light the client's purchasing. You may not have what the client's purchasing, but you have something that approximates the finish of the material, you know, the metal finish, so the clients can come in and have a hands-on experience of seeing what that metal finish or paper finish or glass finish, whatever it is, looks like.
Correct. Yes. Many manufacturers are using so many different finishes and material types these days. And I think a lot of times that is because of the LED technology. You know, with LED, you have cooler temperatures. So you're able to use materials like wood and feathers and glass and fabrics. So having a really great display for designers and customers to come in, touch, feel, get the sense of what that light output is really important. And, you know, I think with Lights Fantastic, we really try to show you what is out there that is not available every day, what you wouldn't see as your typical light. So seeing materials like rattan or concrete, cotton macrame, plaster, those are all really interesting, and the texture is just so beautiful. And so seeing that in person, you really can't get the sense of that when you're shopping online or in catalogs.
That's so true. And actually, we had an experience the other day of a light fixture from a company that I am very familiar with and have used a lot of in the past. But the light fixture showed up and the size seemed not right. The scale of it seemed not right. And a visit to the showroom might have helped us with that. In the end, it worked out because we had scaled it appropriately for it's a dining light going over a table. But that reveal, that moment of taking it out of the box and holding it up over in a room with a non-existent table, so there was nothing for it to relate to, was a surprise for the clients. And it took a little remembering we were scaling to the table, not the room, for the size of the light. So you're right, having that opportunity to come in, having that showroom does set you guys apart and is an important part of making, of selling to clients so that they can see the things versus just online. That's the benefit of having that showroom, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And like you said, even if it's not the exact fixture that you are shopping or looking at, we can compare it to another manufacturer, say, this is the size, this is the shape. We can hold out tape measures. We can even move furniture around in the showroom to create the feel of what you're designing. So I think having a workable showroom is really important. And in our future, we really want to start creating vignettes where you can see the space. Because, you know, you and I, Diane, all have a better design sense and can imagine it, feel it, but a lot of homeowners can't, and that's why they come to us. So really working it and putting that image in their head, I think, is really helpful in the showroom.
I agree. And so why don't you walk us through the process? So tell, you know, pretend you're talking to not me because I know the process, but to the people listening, about how would I even begin? Say you have an electrical plan that you're working off of. Can you just walk us through how you do what you do all the way through to like how you make sure rooms are lit properly with the lighting that's selected?
Sure. So I think when I really start with a customer, you know, a customer walks in with the designer, with or without the designer, I really want to understand how they use the space. Sure, we'll walk through the floor plans, write down fixture locations, but I like to really talk to them about, what do you do in this space? Do you host dinner parties? Do you do homework at the table? So understanding what their vibe, kind of what they want to do in this space, is important to me. So decorative lighting is beautiful, but we also really need to talk about functional lighting. And my way of thinking about it is creating layers of light. Say we have our decorative, beautiful fixture that works with the architecture of the space, but then you want to highlight that architecture. If you have coves, we want to light those. Recessed downlighting creates more of your task light. Those coves will create more of that ambient light. So that's really where we start. As far as your kind of tangible items, we need floor plans, we need elevations, we need to know our ceiling heights, we need to know what materials you plan to use. Are your countertops reflective or are they honed? With under cabinet lighting, you are seeing LED now, and do we need to put a lens on that, or are we able to leave it open? Because if we don't put a lens on it, that reflective countertop is going to show each and every single diode. So knowing the nitty gritty almost is important so that we can specify the right fixtures.
Yeah, I agree. It's true that layering is an important point to bring up that you have to have layers of light. You have to have the light that's there for cleaning the room and making it bright to be able to, you know, wayfinding. And then you've got your mood lighting, as you mentioned, your task lighting, your ambient lighting. So that's a good point. And you have expertise in all of those areas. So,
and I love that you ask about all that, because it's so important, because somebody might actually be, you know, doing something intricate you need a lot of light for, but they fall in love with this pretty light that doesn't give off as much light. But so, you know, you can help lead them to the right light products that'll provide what they need. That's happened to me before.
Oh yeah. I've definitely been in the position of thinking I know that I've provided enough light and then I haven't. And I've had to go circle back and, you know, go to Katie and say, how do we correct this? Or a lot of times I'll ask my staff to make sure, check with Katie before you finalize anything to make sure we've scaled this fan. There's fans that you sell as well that have lights in them. We should talk about that for the room. So say a little bit about the very controversial subject of ceiling fans. A lot of times people hate them or love them, or let's talk. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't think we have anything in between.
The thing that you typically see in a, you know, a builder grade home are four recess cans and a fan with a light kit in the space. Or even older homes, you have a single fan with a light kit, you know, a four globe fitter or something like that. Those days are gone. We don't like fans with light kits anymore. We want, like you said, to layer the light. That single light source isn't going to achieve what you need to live in that space. So we do want to put some recess lighting in there. Furniture is what we call it. Portables, like a lamp, a task light, something like that. But ceiling fans, we live in Texas. I think everyone is a fan of fans. Most everyone is. So it is important to get the right scale. We are seeing sleeker designs with fans in like a matte white finish, which I think is really kind of beautiful. It goes away. Everyone's ceiling is typically a white or lighter finish. So going with a matte white fan to really just disappear, but give you that airflow. Three bladed fans. We want to look at the pitch of the blade. And the CFM rating is what will tell us the airflow. And typically anytime it's above 5,000, it's a really great fan, moves a lot of air. And most fans are going to give you good airflow.
It's true. I'm glad that the light kits in fans are going away. We still use them sometimes in kids' rooms. Just for when people come in, they want to be able to just get their orientation. But we have moved away from using them in most spaces. But that makes me want to hear a little bit more about trends in general. Now, you mentioned the LED trend, which of course has been going on for a while, and giving the ability for us to use different finishes, which hadn't occurred to me, by the way. That was very interesting to learn that, because LED doesn't get hot, that's why we can all of a sudden make our light fixtures out of paper or out of feathers or resins that would heat up otherwise in a dangerous way. Is that correct, Katie? Am I right about that?
Yes, absolutely. But not only just the finishes, it's the forms. LED isn't, it's a line of light now with the lines of diodes. So you're not stuck with just spots where like an incandescent or a halogen bulb is giving you just those spots of light. With LED, we can do linear light so much easier. Waves, you'll see pendants and chandeliers now in this wavy fashion or form. So that's what LED, I think, has really opened us up to. more so than just the material.
I hadn't even thought about that. That's true. Yeah, that is the trend then, right? That people are just getting, doing more exciting things with shapes and with their decorative light fixtures. Absolutely. And then also just more options with the architectural lighting too.
Like endless possibilities with the lines of light that you can create. It's very flexible. They have sheets of paper with diodes, so you can easily backlight a piece of onyx or a piece of frosted glass for a countertop or a backsplash. Any type of sign lighting, if we're talking commercial applications, it's so much easier to do with LED lighting now.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that. That's why you see in a lot of showrooms these days, a lot of the stone showrooms are lighting up their quartzite countertops.
Yeah, they are.
Because they can.
Yeah.
That's the reason they're doing it.
Yeah.
Are there other things, Kate, that you've seen like trend-wise change over the years with finishes, or what have you seen in that way?
Well, you know, your classics like polished nickel, bronze, and unlacquered brass are always going to hold tried and true. They're gorgeous. They're true finishes that you really can't beat. And I think it's the companies that do it well that don't use those cheap finishes that are painted or plastic. So those are always going to stay on trend. But then you also see your Spanish and Italian lines who do plastic and painted finishes very, very well. So with trends, I am seeing some of these boutique designers come out with Luke Lampco. They are creating chandeliers out of rope. They have rope and they backlight it, or I don't even know how they do it, but it's amazing the way that these companies are using LED light to light natural fibers and these natural materials.
Mm, wow. Cool.
Yeah, I think it's opened up the design world a lot, the ability to. What about more technical aspects, Katie? Can you talk to us a little bit about the luminosity
I think the lumen output.
The lumen output color temperatures. Can you give us a little tutorial on what's appropriate?
So I always have this conversation with a homeowner when we're in our meeting for selections. So traditionally, we would use the term watt. 60-watt light bulb is what we're used to. Our household bulb that we've used forever. Now we use lumens to measure brightness. So as a little comparison, a 60-watt light bulb is typically around 800 lumens. Lumens measures brightness. Your standard recessed can light is typically 600 to 800 lumens. That's what you would get with an incandescent. It would be like a 60 watt. But now with LED, you can get much higher lumens at a lower wattage. So you can see a 2-inch recessed trim producing up to 1,500, 2,000 lumens. So that measurement of light, it really depends on how the space is being used. Under cabinet lighting, I'm typically seeing about 200 lumens per foot. Cove lighting, is this cove going to be just an ambient light for like a media room, or is it going to be more of your task lighting for a kitchen or a living room, great room? Is it going to wash a wall at your entryway, stone, facade, or something like that? You want to go with a higher lumen output, like 500 lumens. How is the space being used? Who's using it? That you need to know those things to determine the lumen requirements. And really, there is no right or wrong answer. Age is a big factor in those lumen requirements. Is it an elderly couple that needs brighter light, or is it a space that someone doesn't like light. It's really personal in determining how bright that space needs to be.
Why are you laughing, Diane?
She's definitely into variety.
Yeah, I like variety.
And I think that's where the layers of light is so important in setting the mood. And that brings in the conversation of controls. Are we using dimmers? Yes, we need to use dimmers everywhere to really set the tone and the vibe. And that gives you the variety. In the morning when you're packing school lunch, you need all the lights on. But at night when you are enjoying a glass of wine, watching your shows, you don't want a whole lot of light. You want to dim it down real low. And I always, when you're hosting dinner or something like that, typically you don't want your recessed down lights on. You want your beautiful pendant lighting and your under cabinet lighting up your beautiful backsplash on. So putting those on different controls with dimmer switches is so important. And then color temperature. Color temperature is measured by Kelvin. So 2700 Kelvin is your traditional incandescent light bulb color temperature. Upwards of 6,000 Kelvin is daylight. So when we go to a hospital, 4,000 Kelvin is typically that fluorescent, bright white blue light. With LED integrated fixtures, we're typically seeing a 3,000 Kelvin, which I like to describe as a true warm white. It's not yellow and it's not blue. It's like a good, clean, white light. And here again, there is no right or wrong answer. Someone may love the 2700 Kelvin really warm light, but you work with an engineer or a doctor who is used to that really bright white blue light. And that also lends to the design of the home. Are you using warmer colors? Are you using cooler colors? So the color temperature can affect the paint colors or the countertop material. So I think having, when you come into the showroom, to bring your materials so that you can test it under these color temperatures. We have these beautiful displays with light boxes that have the different color temperatures. You can hold your paint sample in there and see how 2700 will make it warmer, almost sometimes yellow. So if you have a beautiful true white paint, you typically won't lean towards that 2700. You might want to go to the 3000, which would bring it to more of its true color.
I love that. I love to have the ability to go into your showroom and do that because it makes such a huge difference. When you're on the job site, I was at a job site and one room had the 3000 for all of the ambient light and 2700 on all the decorative light. And those play okay together. Those play well enough together, I think. I don't know how you feel, Katie, but I kind of like those don't bother me. I like them working together. But then the client had maybe a 4,000 color temperature bulb in another section of the house that hadn't been renovated. And the paint colors looked entirely different from room to room. It was jarring the difference. It needs to,
right?
That balance is super important, I think.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think 2700 and 3000 work really well together. I think it is important to have some consistency across the space, just so that when you're sitting on one side of the room, you're not seeing so many different color temperatures in the space. A new technology that has come out is called warm dim, or there is color tuning. So warm dim is controlled by a dimmer. It starts off at like a 3000 Kelvin, And as you dim it down, it will go all the way down to like a 1800 Kelvin. So like a candlelight.
What?
So it acts, yes, it acts almost like an incandescent bulb would traditionally. Yeah.
And I'm dying. Nobody can see me, but my head exploded. I'm so excited about this. I love it. Sorry, yes. Katie, you're going to have to email me all the details.
It's available in LED modules, like recessed LED modules. It is absolutely beautiful. Color tuning is used by a different controller, and you can actually control what color temperature you want to go to. So if you want a 4,000, you can tune it into that, or if you want a 3,000, you can go there. So it's really interesting how LED has let us go there. It's an amazing technology.
Okay. And save marriages across the country from going under, from not liking the same color temperature.
So is the warm dim a switch? Is it something at the switch location, or is it?
No, it's in the diode. So the LED has the capability to go from that brighter light down to the warmer color.
Okay. And you control, so then you control that diode how? I guess I'm trying to
with
figure
a dimmer switch. Yes.
With a dimmer switch.
Now the color tuning is a little bit more technical, where you would have to have a DMX type controller. So it's a little bit more technical, but your warm dim is standard with your everyday type dimmer switch.
Is that like when you go to people's houses and they're like, hey, look at this. I can make all my lights blue, or all my lights pink, or all my lights red. Is that a DMX? Yeah,
That is more of a DMX type situation, yes.
That is fascinating. I have a quick, very practical question. Well, I'll be contacting you to figure out how to specify that particular warm dimming. Mm-hmm. But is it much more expensive? Is there a large cost difference between sort of what we standardly get with a dimming light, or what's the, how do you
not
specify
typically it? Right. Mm-hmm. It's just a different product. It's not a huge cost difference. I would say it is surprising. Like, you can even get light bulbs that are warm dim. So you could put it in a pendant light that has standard sockets. Most LED fixtures aren't going to have that capability. They're just going to have the one static white. But I think for the variation and all the options that you get with that color tuning, I think it would be worth it to swap out your more used spaces. I like to, when I'm working up against a tighter or a budget, just a budget, doesn't have to be a tight budget, I like to divide the spaces into public and private spaces. So public spaces are these common areas where you're using all the time and guests will see. So like your kitchen and your living room, dining room. Those are spaces where you typically would put in a can light or something that is a little bit more expensive, that you want to have that fine-tuned warm dimming capability. So that's, I think, where I would talk more about the price and cost savings and differentiating those public and private spaces.
Yes, yeah, so you might invest in it for a living room or a dining room or a kitchen, and you may not invest in it because you don't use the rest of the house in the same way. It may just not be have as much value to you in those other areas.
Correct. Yes.
I love that. I learned so much from this, Katie. You are amazing. You are a big brain.
Oh, thank you.
Totally amazing. So Thank you for your time. We're not quite done, but I want to just give you some time to tell us, what have we not asked you that's interesting? Or Diane, if you have more questions for what have we not asked you that you would love to tell us about?
Well, I think the main thing is lighting has changed drastically in the past 10 years. From when I was in school to when I am what I'm seeing today, it is a 360 of what is going on and what is out there. So I think one of the big things that we're pushing at Lights Fantastic is start with lighting. Lighting really sets the mood and creates, it invokes emotion. And I think when you're designing a space or creating floor plans, really think about the lighting and where you can layer the light. And it really does just make everything more enjoyable. So start with lighting. And I think going to fabulous restaurants and moody hotels really allows you to explore what lighting can do to a space and how it makes you feel. It's pretty awesome, and it's very exciting to me and everyone I work with to just keep on going, and it's an emotional, personal thing. So there really isn't a right or wrong answer.
I agree. And educating yourself is a good, like we have just done today, re-educating right. ourselves. And because what I just learned today is a lot, and things that you think you know, we've been doing this a long time. It's good to stay fresh and stay connected to people like you. It can keep us knowledgeable about what's happening in the field.
And I would definitely say lighting, if you don't get it right, it can ruin a space. I've just seen that happen a number of times. So you definitely want to get it right and think thoroughly through it.
It's a whole entire separate element itself, not just the hard materials or the volume of space. Mm-hmm. It's an entirely separate element that deserves its own thoughtful design. Thank you so much, Katie. That was fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for joining
Thanks
us.
For being here.
Thank you so much for having me. And visit us anytime at the showroom at 7532 Burnett Road, Central Austin.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.